Welcome to Community Church's Sermon Podcast. We invite you to visit us online at www.ccfdl.org to learn more about our church and our ministry in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And now here is Adam Utecht, Senior Pastor at Community Church.
All right. That was fun. Thanks, Kathy, for that Community Kids Ministry moment. It's fun to see Kathy every week. And kids, we really miss seeing you running around the building here. Boy, it will be so good to see you kids back here soon. We're hoping sooner than later. Well, let me pray, and we're going to jump into God's Word together from Galatians 5, as Kathy said. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. We treasure what you have said. We pray that you would give us wisdom. We pray your Holy Spirit right now would give us wisdom to understand the truth of your word. We pray that you would open our minds and our hearts, that you would draw us to yourself and teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, kids, you're doing a great job, by the way, too, of filling out those sermon notes for kids. Please keep doing that. Send your pictures to Miss Kathy, and you might end up on the prelude pictures before the services in the weeks to come. Well, the fight against COVID-19, we could say, is the fight of the century. It really is. I mean, this is a massive fight. But there's another fight going on in every day in our lives as Christians. If you're a believer in Christ, you know this fight. You know what I'm talking about. See, in one corner, we have the Holy Spirit leading us to do what is right and good, according to God's word. In the other corner, we have the flesh leading us to sin, to disobey God. So who wins? Who wins more in my life? We have to ask ourselves that question. Who wins, the flesh or the Spirit? I want the Holy Spirit to win more often than not, don't you? What do I have to do in order to do that? What do I have to do? That's the question that I hope to answer today as we open to Galatians chapter 5. If you have questions today, feel free to send a text with your question to 920-550-1585. We already have some questions. We're prepared to answer this morning at the end of the service, and my special guest, my wife Jill, and I are going to aim to answer those questions. So you can feel free to text your questions to that number. And we may not get to all of them today. We may save them for the weeks to come. Well, I hope you have your Bible and you've opened to Galatians chapter 5. You have your Bible app on your phone and you've opened to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 16 through 25. 16 through 25. So the main idea that I want you to get today from this text, from this message, is this. Let the Spirit win. Let the Spirit win. The Word of God will give us some tools to help us let the Spirit win. Now, Galatians was written by Paul, and he was writing to a church in Galatia. And in this letter, Paul really wants this church to learn to do a couple of things. One is to walk by the Spirit, and we're going to see that in the text. And two is to follow the Holy Spirit and not the flesh. So we're going to talk about those two things today as we talk about letting the Spirit win. First, if you're taking notes, here it is. First, walk by the Spirit, verses 16 through 18. Look at God's word with me from Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. It says this, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. The tense of walk is present continuous. In other words, be always walking by the Spirit. So how can we continually be walking by the Spirit? We need to actively submit to Him every day. It's not just something you do one day. You do it every day. You're walking by the Spirit constantly. So what does the Spirit do? We need to submit to Him, but what does He do? Three things here. You could jot these down. The Holy Spirit helps us sense what is wrong. The Holy Spirit helps us sense what is wrong. You know, God's word is really clear about a lot of things, and we know what is right and wrong by looking at God's word, but the Holy Spirit helps us because oftentimes we forget this word, don't we? We forget God's word, and we slip into sin, and we aren't even realizing what's happening to us. We need the Spirit to awaken our senses to what is wrong. Now, this week I was driving in my car and I was in a drive-thru, and while I was in the drive-thru, a light went on my Pontiac, and there's a little screen on there, and it said, air conditioning is turning off in order to help the engine cool down. The engine is overheating. I'm thinking, what in the world? Why is the engine overheating? I don't know what's happening right now. And then the next thing I knew, it started going ding, 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 like constantly. I couldn't stop it. And it said that the engine was overheating, and the little dial on my engine gauge was hitting the red. And my car was going to overheat. And what had happened was that I was out of coolant, and I didn't even know it. So my car reminded me, made me aware of the problem I wasn't even aware of. And that's kind of what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit sets off alarm bells. Ding, 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 ding. When we are walking in sin, he says, hey, hey, listen, you're going down the wrong path. You're walking in sin. We need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit's voice and not ignore him. Imagine if I ignored the light and the binging sound in my Pontiac. What would have happened? I would have broken down. I would have burned out. The engine would have overheated. I would have been stuck. That's what happens to us. We need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit's voice. Now, the more we ignore his voice, the less clearly we will hear him. It's called quenching the Spirit. So don't do that. Don't ignore the Spirit's voice when he sets off those alarm bells. The Spirit helps us sense what is wrong. Second, the Spirit helps us sense what is right. The Spirit helps us sense what is right. He helps us see and understand what is right. The Spirit teaches us how to think of others as more significant than ourselves. We need to learn that. We need to know that. The Spirit helps us loosen our grip on our possessions or our money. The Spirit helps us value self-control and sexual purity. See, the world would tell us that we are not being true to ourselves, but we need to walk by the Spirit and be true to his voice. So the Holy Spirit helps us sense what is wrong. The Holy Spirit helps us sense what is right. And third, the Holy Spirit helps us do what is good, putting others before ourselves. This points us back, actually, to Galatians 5, verse 13. You can look back at verse 13. It says, "For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love." Our freedom as believers should compel us to serve others, not ourselves. The Holy Spirit empowers us to put the needs of others before our own needs in the example of Jesus. That's what Jesus did. So here's the question for us. Are we allowing the Spirit to do these three things in our lives? This is how we can win the battle against the flesh, is by listening and submitting to the Holy Spirit. And this is a battle. We can see that in verse 17. Look at verse 17 of Galatians 5. It says, "For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want." You can just see this is a battle. This is a welterweight fight. The desires of the flesh are in opposition to the desires of the Holy Spirit. And we want to do what's right, but the flesh is battling the desires of the Spirit inside us. So the Apostle Paul, who wrote to this church in Galatia, he knew well this battle. He talked about it in Romans 7, 15. Look what he says. "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." It's a battle. Do you ever find yourself in this place? "I swore I would never do this again, but here I am doing it. Pride, selfishness keep coming back in my heart. I thought I had conquered this, but now it's back. I want to be patient, but I struggle every day with impatience. I don't want to worry, but here I am worrying again. I said I would never do this again. This is a fight. We find ourselves doing the things we don't want to do because we drift into the desires of the flesh. This is a fight. The desires of the flesh versus the desires of the Holy Spirit. They're opposed to each other. So what's the key to victory over the desires of the flesh? This is one key to victory. Let the Spirit control your thoughts and actions. Let the Spirit control your thoughts and actions. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Submit to His voice in your heart, mind, and will. Listen to Him when He says, "This is wrong. Don't do this." Or listen to Him when He says, "This is right. You should go down this path." Ask Him to show you how to serve others. On May 24th, we're going to talk more about what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5. But let's now look at verse 18. Look at verse 18 in Galatians 5. It says this, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." That's interesting. What does that mean? Not under the law. Well, does that mean the law doesn't apply? That the law is now null and void? No, that's not what it means. The Spirit, here's what it means. The Spirit will lead us to loving God and loving our neighbors every time. That's what the Spirit leads us to do. So if we're walking by the Spirit, if we're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, we are fulfilling the greatest commandment according to Jesus. Because what did Jesus say? He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." That's what the Spirit does. He teaches us to do both. To be led by the Spirit, we might think, is counterintuitive. We think by giving up control, we are enslaving ourselves. That's what the world would tell us. But we need to know that true freedom is found when we surrender and allow the Spirit to lead us. We have to trust His voice. When I was a youth pastor in Green Bay, we went on a missions trip to North Dakota to an Indian reservation. And in preparation for this trip, we had the students do some activities, some trust activities. So each student had to take a turn putting on a blindfold, and they were led through the woods. And what we had the students do was one student was blindfolded and the other one was behind them or in front of them and giving them verbal direction and saying, "Here's where to go. Watch out. There's going to be a log here, so step over this right now." Or take six steps. And guess what? The student who was blindfolded had to trust the one leading them that they wouldn't lead them into the pond or into a tree. So I'm going to actually have Claire, my daughter, come up here. She's already up here. She's ready to go. She can't wait. So she has a blindfold. Well, it's really a hairband of some kind. And I asked her to do this with me to illustrate this. I'm going to trust her. Is that a problem? Is that going to be okay? Can I trust you? Okay. So I'm going to put this blindfold on, and Claire is going to give me verbal direction of where to go, and I'm going to trust she's not going to lead me off the stage to my death. No, just kidding. All right. Okay, I can't see anything. All right, Claire, help me. Lead me. Show me where to go. Tell me where to go. I need to listen to your voice. Go ahead.
Turn around and walk 5 steps. Three more. Come back with 8 steps. Okay, keep coming. You did it.
Thank you, Claire, so much. Give Claire a hand. Give her a hand. All right. Thank you, honey. Thank you for not leading me astray. Okay. Now, imagine if I said to Claire, "You know what? I'm not listening to you. I'm going to go whatever way I want to go. It's my decision. It's my life. I have autonomy. I have free will. I don't have to listen to you." What could have happened? I could have run into the music stand over there. I could have walked off the stage and really hurt myself, right? But that's what happens when we don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize that we are blind without the Spirit. Don't let the flesh win. Don't follow the indulgences of the flesh. Let's realize that we need the Holy Spirit. We do not know how to live this life. We don't see the big picture. The Spirit does. Why? Because He's God. He is fully God, and He knows what is best for us. So we let the Spirit win by letting the Spirit lead. That's really important. We let the Spirit win by letting the Spirit lead, and that means we need to trust Him. We need to learn to listen to His voice, and we need to follow where He leads us. Paul will now clearly show us the two paths that we can take. We can either be led by our flesh or the Spirit. There are two roads. There are two roads. That's verses 19 through 25. Two roads. So Paul's going to take us down each road and show us where each leads. Let's first look at where the flesh leads. Where the flesh leads. Let's look at verses 19 through 21. Look at God's word, starting in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I'm warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Maybe you have practiced some of these sins. Maybe you're practicing them right now. You need to know no good outcome is possible when we practice these things. During this season of coronavirus, I've been reading different articles and hearing different things from different pastors, and we're finding that on the positive side, there's some crime that has gone down. I've seen different posts and different people talking about how, you know, it's nice not to have to see a school shooting occur because schools are closed. But on the other side, on the flip side of that, it's also opened the door for all kinds of horrible things to happen at home. We need to recognize that police officer in the Fox Valley had talked about the increase, the sharp increase in domestic violence during this time, which is directly oftentimes related to alcohol. The consumption of alcohol is a big problem. The world kind of jokes about it and makes fun of, you know, oh, hey, we're just going to drink our way through this. But alcoholism is going to be a huge problem on the other side of this. Porn sites, pornography sites, are actually offering free subscriptions, hooking new customers daily. These are the sins that we read about in verses 19 through 21. And when we follow the desires of the flesh, we leave damaged relationships, emotional scars, and pain in our wake. What's more, at the end of verse 21, what do we see there? You see that? Verse 21, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a stern warning that we must heed. We could say the fruit of the flesh is hatred, depression, conflict, impatience, harshness, anger, unfaithfulness, carelessness, and self-indulgence. This is where the flesh leads. And that's a nasty result. The road of the flesh doesn't lead anywhere good. Maybe that's your world. You find yourself always following the desires of the flesh. 1 John 3:9 says this. We need to see this. Look at this. 1 John 3:9. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. I want you to know that if you continually practice sin and follow the desires of the flesh all the time, you need to ask yourself, am I even saved? Am I even a Christian? You may claim to be a Christian, but talk is cheap. If you are not saved, and maybe you know it, you're not saved, you're not a believer, you don't have the Spirit. You don't have the Spirit, and therefore you cannot follow the Spirit. The Spirit can't win because He's not in. You are spiritually dead in your sin. You need the resurrection of Christ. You need resurrected life in Christ. And then, and only then, will the Spirit come inside you and lead you. See, the flesh leads to sin, and sin leads to eternal death. It's what we deserve for all of our sin. But the good news, the gospel, is that we don't have to go down this road. Christ took all of our sins, all the sins we read about in verses 19 through 21, and he died a brutal death on the cross, taking the full force of the wrath of God upon himself so that you and I could be saved. That's good news. It's really good news. And this good news demands a response. How do we respond? We need to respond by repenting and believing. Repent, turn away from your sin and yourself, and believe alone on Jesus Christ to save you. Maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you're watching this right now and you're thinking, I've never done that. I hope today is your day where you will repent of your sin, repent of going your own way, and turn to Jesus to save you. It's a decision of the heart. I believe repentance and belief can happen simultaneously. It's the moment when you stop and you say, I can't do this alone. I need help. I need a Savior. And you turn to Jesus. I hope that you'll do this if you've never done it before. And if you are making this decision, please let us know. We don't want you to be alone. We don't want you to be isolated. You can tell us by going onto our website, ccfdl.org/card, and fill out a Connect card and just indicate that you have made a decision to follow Jesus, to receive him as your Savior. And we'll follow up with you this week and help you take the next steps of what it means to follow Jesus. If we take the road of the flesh, we die. That's the bad news. Destruction lies at the end of this path. So let's get off that path and take the second path, which is where the Spirit leads. It's where the Spirit leads. Look at verse 22 and 23 of Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 and 23. This is familiar probably to you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Notice, this is really important, notice that we are not told what the Spirit helps us do. We see who we become when we let the Spirit lead us, when we let the Spirit win. This is who we are when we let the Spirit win. Also notice that it is fruit, not fruits. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Don't think of the fruit here as a fruit basket, where the fruit of the Spirit is a multiple different fruits. What is this? The text is clear. It is singular. It is a fruit. It is a packaged deal. We take all of it or none of it. We don't get to choose the character traits that are easy for us. Where we look down the list and say, well, yeah, love, that sounds good to me. Joy, I love joy. Peace, I like that. I can be a person of peace. Patience, I'm not sure I want to do that one. We don't get to pick. We don't get to choose. It's all one fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. We don't get to choose the character traits that are easy for us. The character qualities described here are a unified result of someone who is continually led by the Holy Spirit. If we are going to let the Holy Spirit win, we have to let him grow us in all of these character traits. He has permission to work on all of our weaknesses, not just tweak our strengths. Now look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So Paul throws in another truth to consider, and this will help us let the Spirit win. Here's the truth. The old you is dead, or it should be. If you're a believer in Christ, the old you is dead in the grave forever. It should be. You've crucified yourself. You've died with Christ, and you've been raised with newness of life in Christ. You have a new life, a resurrected life in Christ. So what does that mean? We should not follow that dead self. It's dead. We shouldn't live in that way anymore. We don't follow those ways anymore. We should walk in newness of life by following the Holy Spirit. And we see this picture in verse 25, and this is where we're going to finish out. Verse 25, it says this: if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is a picture of a marching band. When all the players are following the drum major, you know who that is, right? The drum major. Who's the drum major? We'll show you a picture. This will remind you of Wisconsin. On Wisconsin. Come on now. The drum major is the one at the front of the band with the sweet hat and stick. The band looks to the drum major for their tempo and direction. When all the instruments keep in step with the drum major, they are in perfect unison, perfect harmony, and in step with one another as one. The Holy Spirit is our drum major. The Holy Spirit is our drum major. When we're headed for disaster, the Spirit is the one leading us away, pulling us back. When we need to go towards something or someone, the Holy Spirit is leading the way. Brothers and sisters in Christ, keep in step with the Spirit, and the Spirit will win in our lives. Now, let me give you four practical tips to let the Holy Spirit win. This will be brief. First, be quiet and listen. So how do I hear the voice of the Spirit? We need to take all of the distractions away. Now, I know during this time, safer at home, people are at home, they have more time. COVID-19 has tempted us to amuse ourselves to death on our smartphones or our devices. I would encourage us, take time this week to be quiet. Put your phone down. Turn off your screens. Turn off your computer. Put it all away. Maybe go out and take a walk and just be quiet and seek the Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Find a place and time to pray with no distractions. I know that's hard. It's not easy to do. But let's aim to do it this week. We let the Spirit win by first listening to His voice. So be quiet and listen. Second, humble yourself and submit to Him. Humble yourself and submit to Him. If we're hearing the Holy Spirit, we're hearing His voice, we need to take the next step and humble ourselves and submit. Submit to what the Spirit is telling us to do. The Holy Spirit will not win if we are proud, if we think we can do it ourselves. He will not lead the proud. He will lead the humble Christian who submits to God. Maybe you need to humble yourself today and let the Spirit win. Be quiet and listen. Humble yourself. Submit to Him. Number three, heed God's word. Heed God's word. Because the Holy Spirit primarily communicates with us through God's word. The Spirit will never tell us to do something contrary to God's word. Never. If someone ever tells you, God told me that you should do this, but it's contrary to God's word, don't listen. Don't listen to that person. It's not what God has said. We need to hold everything up against what God has already said. We need to test everything with God's word, and we need to heed God's word and listen and do what it says. The Spirit, I believe the Spirit will bring verses to mind in times of temptation. Maybe He's done that for you. And you've noticed that. Like when you're in a temptation, you have a verse that pops into mind. Where does it come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will use God's word to teach us, to lead us. He'll help us understand even what God's word means. Sometimes we read a passage and we say, well, I don't understand this. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate your heart and mind to the word. Remember, one of the Spirit's jobs is to lead us into what? All the truth about Jesus, John 16:13. Heed God's word. So be quiet and listen. Humble yourself. Submit to Him. Heed God's word. And the fourth way to let the Spirit win is listen to God's people. Listen to God's people. Now, are God's people faultless? No. They're not faultless. But God has established the church as a gift to us. Let's use it. Don't neglect the church. The Holy Spirit can use spiritual leaders to speak wisdom into our lives. The Holy Spirit can use believers to encourage one another and give good counsel to one another. When you're making a tough decision, bring it to some godly believers. Bring it to your church leaders. Bring it to your community group leader. The Spirit can speak through people, the people of God. The Spirit speaks through the people of God to encourage us, to help us. Now, I know in this culture, in this world of social media and being online, and we want to do big things for God. We want to make an impact. We want to change the world. We want to understand amazing things. We want to see the world use us to do amazing, big, awesome things, which is not wrong. It's not a wrong desire, but we also need to understand that by letting the Spirit win, when we let the Spirit win in our lives consistently, that is often not noticed by many people. Only those in a very small circle will notice. Letting the Spirit win changes you on the inside, and your impact may be limited, but it will be deep and lasting. God does his best work in the mundane, ordinary circumstances, and often in anonymity. So no one will know. Hardly anyone will know. But that's how it should be. When people's lives change, when people are deeply impacted, they may not even know our name, but they don't need to know, because they will say, I know this, God has changed me. And God will get the glory. Brothers and sisters, let's let the Spirit win. Let's pray together. Oh God, you are our Father. You love us with an everlasting love, and we can't thank you enough for that. We pray your Holy Spirit would do a great work in our lives this week, that we would be committed to letting the Spirit win in every aspect of our lives. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to hand over control. If we're trying to control our own lives, I pray that we would learn to hand over control and to let you lead us, because we recognize that we don't know the future. We don't know what's best, and we need to submit to your Spirit's leading. So lead us this week, we pray. We pray your Spirit would win as we battle against the flesh. Lord, help us to walk in step, keep in step with the Spirit. Lord, we need help. So help us, we pray. And I pray we would be reminded of what Christ has done for us on the cross, that the gospel would be in the center of our focus, so we could do these things with joy and gladness in our hearts. And we thank you that we can even take time now to take communion together, to remember what Christ has done. That his body was broken, that his blood was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. So we thank you for this time that we can enjoy together. In Jesus' name, amen.